Like many people, I would imagine, I enjoy both books and movies. But on those occasions when I've read the book and seen the movie, that can be a recipe for disappointment. Inevitably, when I've read the book first, there are portrayals in the movie that just don't match up with what I had imagined as I read the book. Movie writers and directors take artistic liberties, they omit portions of the story, or they simply just cast a character who doesn't look at all like I had pictured him or her. There are, in my opinion, though, a few exceptions. I'll tell you about one of my favorites coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Welcome to The Inner Life. Need a bit of help and a bit of hope in living out your faith today? You have come to the right place. We're here to help with some top-notch spiritual direction. I'm Patrick Conley. One movie that I thought did a very good job of capturing the characters, the storyline, and the overall ethos of the book on which it was based was Brideshead Revisited. The book, written by Evelyn Waugh and first published in 1945, tells the story of the life and romances of Charles Ryder, especially his friendship with the Flights, a family of wealthy English Catholics. The novel explores themes including Catholicism and nostalgia for the age of English aristocracy. The movie was, in actuality, a miniseries produced and aired in 1981 for British television, starring Jeremy Irons and Anthony Andrews. It has received much acclaim, including, as recently as 2015, check this out, The Telegraph listed it as number one in its list of the greatest television adaptation, stating that, quote, Brideshead Revisited is television's greatest literary adaptation bar none. It's utterly faithful to Evelyn Waugh's novel, yet it's somehow more than that, too. Well, the culminating scene in this whole in Brideshead Revisited is when a Catholic priest comes to administer last rites to the terminally ill Lord Marchmain. Now, I won't give it away what happens, but let's just say this. Miracles occur. Just maybe not the miracles you were expecting. So check it out. That scene was also my introduction back in my Protestant days to the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. And since then, and since becoming Catholic, I've come to understand that this sacrament is a great vehicle of God's grace toward those who suffer from grave illness. Just as portrayed in the scene from Brideshead Revisited, God works in and through this sacrament. So today on the program, we're talking about the anointing of the sick and just how great of a gift it is to the church and to your life. Our spiritual director today is Father Ethan Southard. Father Ethan is a priest of the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, where he serves as the pastor of St. John Youth Church in Chatsworth, California. Father Ethan, great to have you back on the program. Happy Easter.
Thank you, Patrick. Happy Easter to you. Alleluia, alleluia.
Yeah, very good. Yeah. And so grateful to be speaking with you about this sacrament, because I'll be honest, I mean, this is one of the sacraments that I always feel like I need to learn more about. So, I mean, it's all based in Jesus being a healer. That's where it comes from, an understanding that God wants health.
Absolutely. Everything that Jesus is doing, he is helping to bring healing. He's helping to bring God's love and to reconcile us to each other, to God, to all of creation. And so in the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, in a special way, we're focusing in on God's love for those who are wounded, those who desire to be healed. You know, the scriptures are filled with, you know, images of the lepers, of the person born mute or blind or deaf. And Jesus continues to bring that healing to them, and he longs to bring healing to us.
Mm-hmm. He does indeed. And I, like you were saying, there's all sorts of scriptures, all sorts of readings in the New Testament where we see Jesus coming to give healing. But it also seems that that maybe there were some who weren't able, whether that's just geographic reasons or whatever it is, some that that didn't necessarily. Why not just come back or come to the earth and heal everyone?
That's a great question, Patrick. Why, you know, I think there's lots of ways that we could, in a sense, question God. Why are you doing it this way? You know, God created all of creation. He created the world. He created all of us. And so he certainly could, in a sense, snap his fingers or blink his eyes. And he could make us, healed, and he could make us reconciled, and he could give us eternal life. But in his mercy, God is drawing us into a deeper relationship with him. And so we may not understand the reasons or the whys, or we may not get the things that we necessarily want in the way that we want, in the time that we want.
Right.
And so it may be that we're coming to God and we're asking for healing for ourselves, or maybe probably even more so for a loved one. And if it's not coming in that time, sometimes we do feel like God has abandoned us or he's not listening to us.
Yeah.
But that's certainly not the case. But I think of, when Jesus was, he was preaching and there was the person who was paralyzed, and, the friends brought him in, and, Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." Mm-hmm. And everyone thought he's blaspheming. What are you doing? You're healing sins. And he says, "Well, so that you could believe that I have the power to heal sins," he says, "rise, pick up your mat and walk." Mm-hmm. And so, he did. And he came up, the person, rose and picked up his mat and he was walking. So that healing came. But Patrick, I think this invites us into that conversation when we're speaking of healing. Mm-hmm. What are we speaking of? Are we speaking of a physical healing? Are we speaking of a spiritual healing, or emotional, or psychological, or relational? Yes. The answer is yes. It's all of the above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're getting right along the lines. And I guess the reason I asked that question about why not heal everybody in the first place was that, sometimes I know folks who have received the sacrament of the anointing of the sick and haven't necessarily, actually, I do know people who have experienced physical healing. I know some who have not either. But I guess that's the thing we need to look at is that, well, what is going on there? If this is a sacrament and we can always be expectant of God working in and through the sacraments for our benefit, for our happiness, our ultimate well-being and flourishing, then if the physical healing doesn't come, what is God doing in and through that sacrament?
Mm-hmm. The simple answer is, well, the simple answer and the complicated answer, the everything answer is love. Mm. God is loving us. That's what he's sharing with us through the sacraments. God is sharing his love. And in God's mercy and in God's wisdom, he knows what we need to be drawn deeper into love. And so yes, he is communicating that love. Last night, and I'm not going to give any specifics, but last night I went to a neighboring parish. They're preparing for their sacrament of confirmation for their teenagers. And they had confessions, and so I went and I joined with a little penance service with a few other priests. And I was just so, there was a grace that was moving through me, and I could just feel the love of God very present in that room. And I could feel the pain and the hardness and just the shell and kind of the masks that a lot of the teens are living their lives in. And so they're coming up, but I could also feel underneath the masks and underneath the shell, just that yearning and that longing for love. And so they would come up and I was moved. And so often I was sharing this in, after they would talk, I just says, God loves you so much. And he doesn't love you because of anything you've done or haven't done, or anything you've said or haven't said. God loves you because of who you are. You're his son, you're his daughter. And when he looks at you, he smiles. He's got the biggest grin from ear to ear. And he looks at you, he just says, "You're my boy. You're my girl." And as I was sharing this, I was being so moved, because as I could just see, as those words, as the love of the Father was being shared, and communicated through those words, it was piercing through the mask, it was piercing through the shell, and it was touching someplace deep inside. And they were crying, one after the other. The tears just started streaming down. So that love is so powerful. Now, is that, is it their sins being forgiven, or is that a healing? I don't know. I don't know what was going on, but something beautiful was happening. And I just thought, wow, our Heavenly Father loves us so much.
I love it. Yeah, it's so good. And to know that all the sacraments direct us to that and give us that, give us the love of God. It's Him reaching out to us in love. Speaking with our spiritual director today, Father Ethan Southard, about the anointing of the sick. If you have questions about this wonderful sacrament, or maybe there's a reason why this sacrament is so significant to you, maybe you have a story about you or one of your loved ones receiving and healing occurring, whether it's physical healing or spiritual healing or emotional healing, give us a call and we'd love to have you on the conversation. 888-914-9149 is our number here on The Inner Life. That line is sponsored by the Catholic Order of Foresters. And the number again is 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. How have you experienced the love of God in and through the sacrament of the anointing of the sick? Father, I just love the fact that you are talking about God reaching out to us with His love in that moment. And it's one of those things, isn't it, that that goes back to that Jesus never promised that, you know, as soon as we seek to start following after Him, then all of our problems go away.
Right. Yeah, I think He says something about you have to pick up your cross daily.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Quite the opposite, in fact. Right.
Yeah. And if you'll be blessed with all these things happen, and you'll get persecution on top of that. That's a bonus.
Yeah. Okay. There's little good news.
The Beatitudes.
Yeah, exactly. Good news for a Friday Inner Life here for our listeners as well. Yeah. But I mean, in and through that, I mean, is sickness one of those sufferings that we can and should turn over to Jesus? Is it one of those things that is drawing us closer to, or has at least has the potential of drawing us closer to Him?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You know, when sin came into the world, our relationship, first and foremost, was wounded. And because of that wound, you know, there are effects that develop because of that. Our fractured psyche, our, you know, with the sin, there's sickness. And so the sickness, the sin, it's gone through our relationships. It's gone through creation. And so in the letter of Hebrews, we're told that, and we heard this, you know, especially through Holy Week, but as Jesus took on our humanity, He learned obedience through what He suffered.
Suffered, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, this is Jesus. This is God. God doesn't need to suffer. God doesn't need to learn obedience. So Jesus, as the Son of God, wasn't doing it because God needs to. He was doing that on our behalf. So Jesus has assumed He's taken on our humanity, our wounded humanity. Now, Jesus never sinned, but we're told that He became sin because He embraced our humanity to such a degree. And so as part of that, you know, he was suffering. Mm-hmm. But somehow through that suffering, all of the little virus that has entered into our humanity, into our human nature, He was bringing the antidote and the healing grace and the touch. And it has to get worked through. And so, yes, Patrick, you know, when we do have sickness, or when we're, whether it's our own sickness or whether it's a loved one, there's so many people that I know that are taking care of a loved one, whether they have, you know, Alzheimer's or dementia, and they're having the same conversation day after day, hour after hour, minute after minute with their loved one.
Yeah.
Or it's someone who's, you know, suffering from cancer and just, you know, can barely make it through the day. They're so weak. You know, the loved one, the caretakers, right? It may not be themselves that's suffering, but it's that loved one. But that is a cross that they're carrying. And yet somehow, as we keep saying yes to the situations that we find ourselves in, as we keep saying yes to what life has presented to us, and we're asking God for His mercy and for His help and His strength, He's carrying us through it. And we too are following the path, we're walking in the steps of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
And so we are learning obedience. Somehow we're participating in that new life of Christ, and we're helping to share that salvation of God that he's offering all of us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's very good. And let's, just wonderful reflections on the meaning behind the sacrament, Father. But if you, if we could, let's get into some of the specifics of the practice. So, well, let's first of all talk about where it comes from. Where do we see in Scripture? Where do we get the idea of the anointing of the sick?
Sure. You know, when we pray, when the priests come and they pray, with the anointing of the sick, we can hear it right from James, and that's in chapter 5. And, we say, is there any sick among you? Let them send for the priests of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save those who are sick, and the Lord will raise them up. And if they have committed any sins, they will be forgiven. Mm. So that's right in Scripture, you know, calling for the anointing and specifically calling for the priests. And there's something that's also, again, you know, just to highlight, there's that forgiveness of sins. And so there was a big debate that had happened, you know, in recent years, whether or not deacons, the deacons of the church, would be able to administer the sacrament of the anointing. Once deacons have, you know, recently since the Second Vatican Council have been become active again in the life of our church, they've been helping out with baptisms and, you know, helping in different ways. So the church was reflecting and saying, oh, maybe they could help with the anointing of the sick because that's part of their ministry, you know, serve the those who are sick. But the church decided no, because there's actually the forgiveness of sins is actually integral with this sacrament. And the church has said that only priests are able to forgive the sins liturgically, sacramentally. Yeah. And so it's reserved for the priests. So, you know, so often we hear, as you were mentioning in Brideshead Revisited, what a beautiful movie and reflection as well. Mm-hmm. But the last rites. Mm-hmm. So often right. We hear, oh, you know, we need last rites or we need that anointing, and there's a confusion or a conflation or maybe just a bringing together quite often of the last rites with the anointing of the sick. Mm. Now, the last rites typically would include viaticum, where that would be the last time that a person would receive the Eucharist. So the priest would bring the Eucharist, and then they would also issue the anointing of the sick at that time, and then also the apostolic pardon. And so that's just a complete forgiveness of the sins, and it's a wiping away of all punishment in the life to come. It's just a really beautiful blessing that the Pope offers. The priests are actually saying that blessing, the apostolic blessing, giving that in the moments or just the time just before death as a final blessing and encouragement to not fear death. No, God is opening up the gates of heaven wide open. His mercy is overflowing. He's forgiving your sins. He's wiping away all the punishment that may have accrued because of it. And he's welcoming you with open joy, open
yeah.
arms.
Yeah.
So that's the last rites would be that. But the anointing of the sick is not something to fear. You know, sometimes people think like, oh no, if the priest is coming yeah. and giving the anointing, I'm going to die. No.
That's right, yeah.
Father's coming over to the house. I mean, that happens still very often. People are terrified when they see the priest come into the house. They think that this is it.
Okay.
And that's not it. It's, you know, the anointing of the sick is a beautiful, beautiful sacrament of healing, of strengthening.
Okay.
And so, you know, so just to help to distinguish the difference yeah. between, you know, last rites and that and the anointing.
No, it is very helpful, Father. And I think we'll get into more of those specifics after we take our first break. We're talking today with Father Ethan Southard about the anointing of the sick. If you've experienced this sacrament or have a loved one who have done so, and you've recognized that healing has come, whether that be physical, spiritual, emotional, psychological healing that has come, let us know how God met you with his great love for you in that sacrament by calling 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We'll be back with some of your phone calls and more of the conversation on the anointing of the sick with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard, coming up right after this. Stay with us. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio on RelevantRadio.com and the Relevant Radio app. My name is Patrick Conley. So glad that you could join us today, and hopefully you can join us too for the National Eucharistic Congress coming up this summer. Meet and experience Jesus in new and deeper ways in and through the Blessed Sacrament as this once-in-a-lifetime event is taking place this July in Indianapolis. I hope we can just fill the place up. The Lucas Oil Stadium. I pray we can just fill it up, show up for Jesus together, check out travel packages for the Eucharistic Congress and Father Rocky's Eucharistic Encounter videos at relevantradio.com/encounter. We're talking today about the anointing of the sick with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard. He's with us to lead us through kind of a discussion on this and one of the great ways that God reaches out to us with his great love in and through this sacrament. If you'd like to join the conversation, ask your questions and maybe share a testimony about how God has met you in and through the sacrament, give us a call at 888-914-9149. Let's go to the phones, Father. We've got Donna, who's calling in from Elk Grove, California. Good morning, Donna. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes, I was just driving actually to the store, and I tuned into Catholic Radio, and Father Ethan, thank you so much. God is so good for Catholic Radio. What is happening with everyone? I have a question. My dad in 2021 was having problems, and we ended up finding the root of his voice. He ended up having throat cancer. Well, one Wednesday he goes into Kaiser, barely being able to breathe, heart rate under 30. And before all of that, condemning the church, knows that I go to church, his daughter, but would always say not very nice comments. And my dad didn't, he was the father God gave me, but he just didn't live a really good moral life. And my question is, I feel in my heart God's mercy came upon him because he asked my sister to call me and get a priest. So thanks be to God, I did that. And a priest came to the hospital room. It was still COVID in 2021 in early March. And anyway, he gave him his last rites, the anointing. But as we stood there, most of everybody left out of the room but myself, there was no confession. I feel in my heart, my dad was having a hard time breathing. Maybe Father at that time felt that there was no need to go there. And so did the readings from the book, the anointing, all of that. And 3 years later, this Easter was my dad's third year, death anniversary on Easter, Sunday, March 31st. I guess my question is, it was beautiful for me to see that my dad had asked for that as just weeks before or months, whatever, was condemning the church and and saying, why are you, you know, going there and why are you doing this? Look what the priests are doing and blah, 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 blah. So I just leave it. I just want your comment on that and praying, you know, for the souls in purgatory, especially my father. I truly believe on Easter Sunday, my dad was lifted from purgatory. How do I know that? My heart tells me, but I want your comment on that.
Donna, thank you for sharing such a touching and wonderful story of love and reconciliation. And, you know, we all have wounds, and they manifest in different ways, but we all long for love, every single one of us. And sometimes we put up resistance, you know, for that which we long for the most. You know, I think back to, you know, Peter, as Jesus at the Last Supper was, you know, bringing about the washing of the feet. And, you know, Peter loved Jesus so much, and he's longing for that intimacy and that connection with him. And here comes Jesus, and he says, you know, I want to wash your feet. And Peter says, no, not you. You can't wash my feet. And yet that's what he longs for too. And so all of us, you know, in different ways, we resist and we push away. But then finally, it sounds like your father had that grace to surrender and to really allow himself to be vulnerable and to receive love and to open up even a little tiny crack. And God's love and mercy is pouring through and washing in, and you know, able to be reconciled with the church, with God, and that minister of God's mercy, the priest, was able to come in and anoint him. So I think that's a beautiful invitation for all of us, Donna. You know, that and a hope for all of us that we too can receive God's mercy and God's love. And yes, I think, you know, the times and things have aligned where the anniversary, the 3-year anniversary, was on Easter. What a beautiful symbol of hope in the resurrection and the new life that God literally gave his life so that we could experience.
Yeah, and Father, what about the inclusion of confession as part of the rite of the anointing of the sick? It seems like Donna was saying that was not part of specifically that anointing that he received. Is that is it always to be included? Is it sometimes not?
It depends on what's able. I mean, obviously, sure. the reconciliation, the sacrament of confession is a very powerful sacrament, and you're able to speak out the sins, and you're able to share that. And the sacrament of confession covers all sins. It takes away the, you know, mortal sins and venial sins and everything. You know, there may have been something that somebody's holding on to. At times of dying, it's, you know, in last moments, sometimes you're not able. Sometimes the people can't speak, or, you know, they're not conscious. And so there is that's the beauty, and that's the gift of, you know, the sacrament of the anointing, is that it does heal the sins. I mean, obviously, if there's something that someone's able to confess and they're resisting, you know, the whole point is where is our heart? Is our heart open to God's mercy, and do we want to share that? Or is there still something we're resisting and we're fighting against? And I'm never going to forgive that, you know, that person, you know, blah, blah, blah. But in those moments, and especially like Donna was sharing, it sounds like her father really had that change of heart. He had that metanoia. And so that's the mercy of God. You know, the last law in the code of canon law is that all of these are serving the salvation of the souls. So pretty much everything goes for that soul. And that includes, you know, the sacrament of the anointing. So if you're able to have that confession and have that chance to really just be reconciled with God through the priest, absolutely. In the moments where somebody's unable because they can't speak or because they're unconscious or whatever the case may be, you know, the God's mercy and forgiveness of sins is still in effect in that sacrament.
Okay, gotcha. Thank you for that clarification, Father. And Donna, thank you for the phone call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go now to Gwen, who's calling in from Eagan, Minnesota. Gwen, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Father, my son died 4 years ago at the Mayo Clinic, and we didn't expect him to die. They told us the day before that he was going to be moved to another room, but then they told, it was just me and my daughter-in-law there, his wife, and they told us to call the family, and so we called the family, and everybody got there, and they said it was only going to be, you know, a short time. So I had the wherewithal to ask for them to send a priest, and a retired priest came, and because I wanted him to get his last rites. I thought that was my last gift I could give to him. And the priest gave him his last rites. He couldn't speak anymore. He was, I think they had him on morphine maybe, but he had gone to confession just 13 days before he died. So I was okay with that. And he had viaticum the day before, just a tiny little piece. But what I'm wondering is, if he didn't get the apostolic pardon, I did write to the priest and ask him, but I never got a reply. So I'm wondering, is that essential for my son to be able to get to heaven?
No, absolutely not. It's all about God's love, and I'm so sorry to hear that your son died, especially in an unexpected way. And I know that's the most difficult thing a parent could experience, is to lose, you know, a loved one, a child. But I assure you, God's love, His mercy is. Saint Faustina, you know, Jesus to Saint Faustina says his mercy, his love, it's oceans. It's just so abundant. And so God gives us these different avenues, these different opportunities, the sacraments or the different prayers as a way of accessing that or helping us to come into alignment or openness, agreement with that. So the apostolic pardon is just another way where we can hear those words and it's just God saying, I am opening the gates of heaven. Believe me, you know, because sometimes the doubt can be so strong that resistance can be, oh no, you don't really mean it. Yes, God does mean it. And so God's love is what's essential to bring us to heaven. And it sounds like he had so many beautiful opportunities along, you know, the journey to his passing over to heaven. You know, he had confession, he had the viaticum, and then he had the anointing of the sick, the last rites. So I'm sure the priest did give that because in those types of moments, that's just, you know, part of the rite. That's just what you do. Mm. So I would imagine that he did anyway, but even if he didn't, you know, God's love and mercy is so large.
Mm. Gwen, thank you so much. And I add my own condolences to fathers in saying that I'm sorry to hear about the death of your son, but the great, great gift of God is his great love and his, as Father was saying, opening wide the doors of heaven for us all. So thanks be to God for that. And Gwen, thank you for the phone call. We are taking your calls about the anointing of the sick, whether you have a question about the sacrament, maybe a specific situation that you or a loved one has faced, or maybe you have a testimony to give about how the anointing of the sick has changed you in some way or a loved one, drawn you closer to the Lord. Give us a call at 888-914-9149. Father, I think the standard question we oftentimes ask and always need an answer to, there's always some clarification that seems needed, but when do we call for it? When is the appropriate time to call a priest and say, yep, I think it's time for the anointing?
Mm. That's a great question, Patrick. And my encouragement is don't hesitate. Call.
Okay.
Call. And this could be, you know, children can receive, you know, the anointing. Typically, we would say, just like with most of the sacraments, you would be at the age of reason. But there could be, you know, if you've been baptized, anyone who's been baptized can receive the anointing. And so, you know, there could be a serious illness for a child younger than the age of reason. And, you know, you could have that sacrament. But again, I'm just going to say, so often we think, oh, the sacrament is for the end of life. But I mean, there is the last rites, and it's great to have a priest come. But so often, you know, you may get a phone call. The priest may get a phone call at 3 a.m. You know, you don't have to wait until that moment. You can call days before, weeks before. You mentioned earlier, Patrick, and I'm agreeing that the sacrament, you know, the healing. Yes, we need healing in our body. But we also need healing in our spirit, our emotions, our psychology, you know, just in our relationships and our human person. And I would say that there's never been a time more needed in our world than right now when we need healing. You think of all the addictions, you think of the suicides, you think of depression, you think of the suffering, the mental illness. There's so much suffering in this world right now. And the healing, you know, the anointing of the sick, an expression, it's like a prism of God's love as it's being manifested in this one sacrament. Mm-hmm. But God's love is so needed right now. So oftentimes there will be regular healing masses where there'll be anointings offered, you know, maybe once a month after, you know, one of the masses on a Sunday. And anyone that needs an anointing is welcome to come. And you can come up and you can heal, you can receive the sacrament. A lot of times there'll be a similar mass around the time of Our Lady of Lourdes, which is also, you know, a place of healing. And so there'll be a mass where you can come and you can receive the anointing of the sick. And anyone, you know, over the age of 65, you could receive it regularly just because you're in older age, you know? And so our bodies start to wear down. They start to, you know, get a little slower. So we can have that anointing, which helps to strengthen us, right? So just the daily suffering that we may experience because of old age, you can get an anointing. You don't have to have a serious illness or diagnosis. It could just be for aging. But for those who are younger, who are going into a surgery, or you're going into, there's some illness. But again, I strongly recommend anyone who is of any age who's suffering, you know, some mental health difficulties, that you have depression, that you have suicidal thoughts, or you're just going through a tough time emotionally, receive the anointing of the sick. You know, ask your priest, you know, after Mass, just say, hey, Father, you know, I'm going through a tough time. Could you give me the anointing? And we'd be happy to.
Yeah, very good. Thank you for that, Father. Tell you what, let's take one more phone call before we have to go to break here. Ellen is calling in from Minnesota. Ellen, welcome. Thanks for calling in.
Hi. You know, I just wanted to quickly encourage anyone that is considering getting a loved one to the sacrament. So just know ahead of time that the Holy Spirit is going to do the heavy lifting, and you are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. So you just go through the motions. I brought my parents in. They had both been away from all the sacraments for decades, like 30 years. And my dad was dying of ALS. And I brought them in for anointing of the sick, Holy Communion, reconciliation, the whole works. My dad did it, and he was overjoyed. My mother did not want to go. She didn't come with us. But the following week, I made an appointment, and I got her to go. As soon as the priest put his hands on her head, she looked at him with huge eyes and said, "What is that heat coming out of your hands?" Hmm. And long story short, she now goes to Mass and confession regularly, prays the rosary daily. So just, you know, have courage and trust that the Holy Spirit, this is a sacrament, and the Holy Spirit is going to do the heavy lifting. It was very beautiful.
Thank you, Karen. That's so inspiring. And yes, I loved how you're sharing that. We are in partnership with the Holy Spirit. And so if we're open and we're receiving God's love, we become channels and instruments of God's mercy, and it pours out into our loved ones. And so, you know, we're not forcing someone into a situation they don't want to be in. but helping to facilitate that and trusting that God is at work within their hearts, preparing them for that moment of healing.
Ellen, what a great story, and what an encouraging thing for us to do is to encourage our loved ones to get there too. And I'm so grateful of all the wonderful effects that God works in through this sacrament. I mean, it is obviously there's healing that's occurring. We're talking today about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick. If you have a testimony, as Ellen did, if you have a question about this sacrament, give us a call. Join the conversation at 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take our next break, but when we come back, we'll have more of the conversation with Father Ethan Southard coming up right after this. Our sponsor, the University of Dallas, the Catholic University for Independent Thinkers, invites high school juniors, seniors, and recent graduates to study the great books this summer at UD's two-week-long Arete program while earning 3 hours of college credit. Info at relevantradio.com/UDallas. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio. My name is Patrick Conley. My producer is Nick Sentovich. Thank you so much, Nick, for your work. And Randy Sinaceros is taking your phone calls today as well. It's been a busy day on the call screen as many people are calling in with their stories and questions about the sacrament of the anointing of the sick, which is what we're talking about today with our spiritual director, Father Ethan Southard, pastor of St. John Hughes Church in Chatsworth, California. Well, Father, we are, I think one of the things that might help to dispel some of those notions about, maybe the priest showing up and getting a little nervous about that and saying, oh, well, I didn't realize I was that far along, is to know just some of maybe the mechanics of it. So in case people haven't received this sacrament, what can they expect? I mean, what does the priest actually do?
Sure. There's three main parts to the celebration of the sacrament. So that's the prayer of faith, the laying on of hands, and the anointing with oil. And so the prayer of faith, it's the community, because, you know, we're baptized into a community, we're baptized into the people of God. And so as a community, we're asking for God's help for those who are sick. And so there's usually a scripture reading, and there's the prayer of faith, but the entire church is made present in the community, and it's represented at least by the priest, but also, you know, family, friends, and others. So oftentimes, you know, I'll go to the hospital and maybe it's just me and the person who's sick, and maybe they're unconscious. Hmm. And so if there are nurses around, or if there's some other people, I invite them in, you know, to join in that prayer. If I go to a nursing home, I do the same, because that represents, you know, the people of God. Mm-hmm. So we're there to pray with the person to be anointed. And then there's the laying on of hands. And so, you know, the Gospels share a number of instances that Jesus heals the sick by laying on the hands, or even just a simple touch. And so that's a part of that prayer, and what to expect. And as I think it was Ellen had shared, you know, her mother had received the anointing and she could feel the heat moving through the priest's hands.
Right, yeah.
She says, oh my gosh. So just feeling the Holy Spirit, you know, moving in that way. It's you know, in the Gospel of Luke, they brought the sick with diseases to him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. Mm. And then finally, it's the anointing with oil. And so in Mark, you know, in chapter 6, we hear that as the disciples were sent out to continue his healing ministry, it says that they anointed many sick people with oil and cured them. And we've already shared about James. So the anointing with the oil, that just reminds us of the soothing and the comforting of the sick, restoring the tired and the weak. Again, it's there to help strengthen, to fight against the physical and spiritual illnesses, effects of the illnesses. Mm-hmm. So those are the three main areas
Okay.
Of what to expect. It usually doesn't take very long, you know, 5-10 minutes, depending. I mean, you could go longer, but the essence of it is rather short. And again, I just want to say that you could repeat, you could come again. It, you know, once you go to the anointing, it's not one time in your life. You can, you know, there's different stages. Let's say someone is going in for testing of cancer. You get a, you know, an anointing, you know, as you're waiting on the results. And then you could, if you're going through treatment, chemo treatment, you can continue to come back for the anointing to strengthen you during those different phases of the journey.
Right, right. Well, that's very helpful, and especially for those who have not yet received this sacrament. It's helpful just to kind of lay it out like that, Father. So thank you for that. Let's go back to the phones now. Yolanda is calling in from San Jose, California. Yolanda, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you. I just want to share briefly that years ago when I was 16 years old, I was very, very ill. I had to go to emergency. And I know I was dying. I felt I was dying. And that's another story. The clouds were opening up, and it was wonderful. I thought I was dying. And I opened up my eyes, and next thing I know, in emergency, this Irish priest is giving me the sacrament of the sick. And I just closed my eyes, and I thought, well, I'm definitely going to go. And they kept telling my mom she's not going to make it. And I was a month in ICU. And here I am. I'm a senior citizen, and I'm fine. And I know it was the sacrament of the sick that saved me, completely saved me. Plus my mother's faith, because she was there all every day. Mm-hmm. And but it was that sacrament of the sick that gave me the courage and gave me the strength, and the spiritual strength and the physical strength. I know it was.
Wow.
Thank you for sharing. The power of faith, the power of prayer, you know, God's love really is amazing. And thank you for sharing that testimony. God works through the sacraments, and those are ways to get us going to experience God's love. But, you know, his love transcends the sacraments. His love is everywhere if we're open for it, to receive it. And so it certainly sounds like you are, you had a powerful encounter, and you continue to live that life with God.
Yes. Thank you, Alana, for the great testimony, knowing the power and love of God given to us through the sacraments. So we are grateful for that. Let's go now to Rebecca calling in from California as well. Rebecca, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you for taking my call. Father Ethan, my question is, my sister passed away in 21, just ahead of the pandemic. And the priest couldn't come in to anoint her before she passed. So what they did is FaceTime. The priest was on the phone, and my sister was on the other side being received the anointing. Is that a valid sacrament that you received at that time?
You know, the pandemic was a really complicated and difficult time. You know, I too experienced a lot of times where I actually went to the hospital and I tried to go in, and they wouldn't let me in. So, you know, and the nursing homes and things like that too. And so, I know there was Pope Francis had, you know, shared about the times that people weren't able to go to a priest to go to confession because, you know, things were so locked up. And so he gave a dispensation and, you know, was basically saying, you know, if you want to confess your sins and you can't go to the priest, you know, confess your sins at home in your room, and, you know, and God is forgiving you. God forgives us all the time anyway, but it's just to be able to hear those words. And you know, God is always healing us. God loves us. So healing is one aspect of God's love, but his love is all-encompassing, and God's love is valid. So how all of that works in those times, you know, God's going to have to tell me. But I know that the priest was at that place, and there were barriers up, but God's love transcends the barriers. I mean, God raised Jesus from the dead, and he opened the tomb. So I know that your loved one was definitely receiving God's love, and it's a very powerful and transforming way. And I know that God's love never ends. So we can keep putting our faith and hope in God in that way.
Mm-hmm. Amen to that. Rebecca, thank you for the call, and thanks for listening as well. Well, Father, only a few seconds here before we ask for your blessing, but I want to thank you for all of, not just being on the program today, but of course yours and all the good priests and bishops who give this sacrament regularly to people who are in need of God's love, God's mercy, God's healing in their lives. And hopefully we can see that active and at work in our lives and the lives of our loved ones as well. So we are coming up on the close of the show here, Father. So as you know, we always like to close the show with a blessing. May we ask that from you now, please?
Of course. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
And may the love of God, which knows no ends, the ocean of mercy, may that ocean pour and rain down upon all of us, reconciling us to God's love, filling us with his spirit, and strengthening us to continue to go on his journey. May God's healing embrace touch you all, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We're so grateful for all of God's love to us in the sacraments. If you need to go back and listen to any part of this program you may have missed, go check us out at relevantradio.com/innerlife, where you can share it with others as well. Coming up next is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Our celebrant today is Father Matt Seminar. On Monday, fear and trust, grace and peace.